parable of Dano. Last weekend we heard about the parable of the sower. They're linked but distinct. The wheat and the Dano, or weeds, remind us that the church will always consist of good and bad alike. Saints and sinners. And hopefully the sinners become saints. Both stand side by side in the church, and always have, until God sorts them out, until God pours them out at the end of their lives, and the general judgment at the end of time. Some may argue, however, if the church is to make us holy, like unto God, who is the Holy One, then why does God permit the presence of evil people in his church? Does he not know of the harm that will come? Does he not care about their pernicious influence on our lives? God does know and God does care. Remember, he sees the big plan and knows what's best for us. God can draw good out of evil, evil persons. We can't, but he can. So let go and let God. He'll sort it out. He'll pull the weeds when he's ready. For decades, I'm sure Christians were praying that Dr. Bernard Nathanson would die an early death. Dr. Nathanson was an ex-Jew and atheist who at one time in the States managed the largest abortion clinic on earth and was personally responsible for the death of up to 70,000 children. Eventually, prayers were heard and eventually God sorted Nathanson out. Through modern screening, he gradually converted and the conversion led him to the Christian faith. He became a pro-life advocate. And eventually he was a fervent Catholic and died a holy death in the year 2011. So God drew goodness out of this man's evil life. God can do that, we can't. So we must be always mindful that God sorts the weed from the wheat when he's ready. Meanwhile, we must be ever vigilant and aware of the hard facts that evil and evil people will always be in our midst and in the life of the church. The cause of such infestations are common and yet now expected. We're wary. And the church, over the last 50 years, has had her enemies within and without. Dano has flourished in the church. The wheat sowers have been very active. Let me run through 10 statements and you answer in your own mind, true or false, to these 10 statements to know whether wheat has been sown into your mind. Firstly, the council insisted that the vernacular or English should replace the Mass, should replace Latin in the Mass. True or false? Two, the council decentralised the church from a hierarchical structure to become one more democratic and pastoral. True or false? After the council, the church taught that altar rails were not needed, nor should they be used. True or false? The church had once disdained other Christian faiths. Now, with ecumenism, we regard them as almost equal to us. True or false? The church recommended that Gregorian chant be replaced with hymns in the Mass. True or false? In the past, the priest turned his back on the people to say Mass. Now he must face the congregation. True or false? How are you going? Sticking with it? Number seven. Only after the council did the church promote a more active lay participation in the Mass. True or false? The council recommended that the tabernacle should be placed on a side altar. True or false? Nine. The council changed the church's teaching on indulgences and purgatory. True or false? Ten. After the council, the church abolished penance and the abstinence of meat on Fridays. True or false? How'd we go? Well, are you ready for it? all of the above 10 statements are false. Interesting. But Father, that changed this change. Yes, there's fact and there's fiction. There are elements of truth to each of those statements, but there's also much error. Many weeds have been sown into those statements. Says who? Well, says the church. The church has gone through a tumultuous time, much turmoil over the last 50 years. Ever since Vatican II. But, be warned, Vatican II wasn't the cause of the many changes. Vatican II has been used and abused. Says who? You weren't there, Father. Yes, I wasn't there, but I know someone who was and has said that we are not living as we ought. There's been, in fact, he says, two councils. The person is Pope Benedict. On the 50th anniversary of the opening of Vatican II in the year 2012, Pope Benedict wrote this. But so that this interior thrust towards the new evangelization neither remain just an idea nor be lost in confusion, it needs to be built on a concrete and precise basis. And this basis is the document of the Second Vatican Council, the place where it found expression. That is why I have, says Pope Benedict, often insisted on the need to return, as it were, to the letter of the Council and to its text. But why do we have to return to them if we're still with them? The point is we've detoured away from them. He says, let's get back to the actual document and what the text says. I have read all of the 16 documents of Vatican II. I accept every word of them. I believe in them. And so often I see things happening which are contrary to what those documents say. Often I hear people say, but the church said this. And I say, where? The church never said that. They call it the spirit of Vatican II. Or since Vatican II. It's a fake language. There are weeds amongst the wheat. Let's be wary and be warned. 2 years later, in 2013, one of the last statements from Pope Benedict before his retirement was this, and this is striking. He said, there was the Council of the Fathers, the true council, 16 documents, but there was also the Council of the Media. It was almost a council in and of itself. And the world received the council through them, through the media. So the council that immediately, effectively got through to the people, was that of the media, not of the church fathers. There was a struggle, he says, and they won. They won and they pushed their agenda. He goes on to say, and we know that this council of the media was accessible to all. So dominant, more efficient, this council, the fake one, created many calamities, so many problems, so much misery. In reality, seminaries closed. Think of the late 60s, convents closed. The liturgy was trivialized, clown masses, and the true council has struggled to materialize, to be realized. The virtual council, which is the fake media council, was stronger than the real council, what the church actually taught. Weeds versus wheat. And the weeds were winning. But he finishes. But the real strength of the council was present. And slowly, like the wheat, it has emerged. And it's becoming the real power. Which is also true reform, true renewal of the church. Potent language. And Pope Francis would agree with those sentiments. Just take one of the 10 points I itemised. Active participation in the Mass. Only after the councils of the Church promote a more active lay participation in the Mass. That is false. That is so false. I say it's false because before the council, the Church promoted active lay participation in the Mass. But the active lay participation wasn't, let's give everyone a pass on the sanctuary, let's prance around the altar. That wasn't what the church meant by active participation. The Latin was actuosa participatio, which means be tuned in with the prayers of the Mass. It was Pius the 12th. Pius the 12th in the 50s was very concerned about the church and that people would come to Mass every Sunday. Father would say his prayers and this person would say theirs. He would say the prayers of the Mass and they would be praying their rosary. Good prayers to pray the rosary, but not during Mass. He was saying, you should be praying the prayers with Father. He says the Latin, you say the English. And in fact, he then promoted what they call the dialogue Mass back in the 50s. It wasn't just the server, but the people were meant to respond to the priest. The holy, 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 the Lamb of God, all in Latin, but still, you're responding. You're saying the prayers he's saying. You're listening to the prayers he's saying on your behalf to God. That's what active participation meant. And that's what really kind of didn't happen. And it still hasn't happened in the sense that not everyone prays the prayers as they ought to. That's why we put in Mass prayers into the red hymn books. So each of these 10 points is an element of truth, but also a mixture of error. Unpack them carefully, and then you know exactly the mind of the church and what the church wanted back 50 years ago. I think Pope Benedict is right. Eventually, the wheat will outgrow the weed. The true council will stand firm in place, in time. Of all the church councils, and there's been 21 of them, each and every one after the council, there's been a time of turmoil and trial and tribulation. In fact, the 50 years after a council, there's just chaos. Then things settle down and the church moves on. I think we've settled down since the 60s. It's a time of tremendous change, not just in the church, but in the world, in our living rooms, our kitchens, businesses, out with the old, in with the new, let's go plastic, that mentality. Well, we've settled down. We're now more stable. And let's build the church. Build the church on what the church teaches, and what the church wants, and what the church has proclaimed. Be careful of what you read in the papers, what Compass says on television, what documentary comes onto your screen. Always be mindful. There are people out there sowing dung, weed among the wheat. God won't sort them, but you can. Sort them with the church and the church's wisdom and her truth. Praise to Jesus Christ.